And all God's people said, Amen. How great He is. If you will, open your Bibles up to the book of Joshua. I'll be very quick this morning. If you have a notepad and you're one who takes down scriptures, we are going to traipse through the Bible real quickly, but I'll give you those scriptures. You can go and read them at your leisure. But we want to start in the book of Joshua, Joshua chapter 1. You know, we all face trials and troubles. And sometimes they seem like, oh Lord, we just got done with one and now here comes another one. Kind of rapid fire type deal. I'll give God praise thus far. I got my mock box working. How about that for a change? We've been through two services of having to do that, and I don't have to stand still anymore. Y'all may not know that's hard for me to do and preach, is stand still. But as we go through those trials and tribulations, you know, Scripture, Lord promises He'll never put on more than what we can bear. There are some times that we really have to consider whether He was being truthful about that or maybe it's just me. Seems like this past week was one of those, so this is kind of about me, my confession to you. But not only with my wife, things at work, and it just like, Lord, is there ever a chance to take a breath just for a moment? And His reassurance is always there. We know that Paul says His grace is sufficient. But I also feel without a doubt I'm not the only one that comes up with that. Some of you have been in that same situation. It just seems like you keep getting hammered and you never, when will the valley end and the mountaintop begin, right? So the people of Israel were in the same type of situation, although God had made a covenant with them and told them that they would have the promised land, and Moses has passed, and Joshua has taken over. So the title of this message is, Our God, Our Victory. And you need to keep that in mind always in the situations, that it is our God who gives us our victory. It is always there. He is ever present. And so here in the first chapter of Joshua, I invite you to stand to honor the reading of God's Word. This will be very short if you're able. We will read verse 9. He says, Have I not commanded you? Be strong and of good courage. Do not be afraid nor dismayed, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. Boy, what a verse to highlight and to mark, because we need to remember that. You may be seated. Told you it'd be quick. But I gave you a chance to stretch anyway, okay? So Joshua is leading the people, and they are about to go, as this story goes, and we're going to kind of run through it real quick. They're about to cross the Jordan. And there will be, as you get over into chapter 7, if you read through Joshua, obviously, this is the land of the Canaanites and Amorites, and they weren't exactly open and welcome for the Israelites to come in, because that meant the Israelites, and there had been word already spread around that God had given them this promised land. We still see that fight going on today, right? About whose land is whose. But the thing about it is, no matter when God promised it, how long ago, then nor now, His promises hold true. And folks, if you're watching what's taking place in the Middle East, you're seeing prophecy fulfilled in your lifetime of different things that are occurring, and it has been for many a year. But God's promise to give them all of that land, it will belong to the Israelite people, still hold true today. But I say that because He made a covenant with His people. He had made a covenant with His people when He said, I'll never destroy the earth again by water, by flood. God is always true to His covenants or contract, His word. However you want to term that, it is something that is assured that will happen. It's not by chance. It's not, well, maybe if. It is going to happen. Whatever He puts in His word is reality. and it is the same as He is yesterday, today, and tomorrow. It will come about. And so He made this covenant with the Israelite people, and He reminds Joshua, because in the 7th chapter, you're going to find that they failed to defeat the Amorites, and what took place is they had sin within there. They had disobeyed God. They had gotten away from what He had told them to do about destroying everything and keeping nothing, and that they allowed sin to enter in, and so therefore, when they come against the Amorites, basically they duck-tailed and ran, is what happened. And Joshua says, Lord, he comes in there in 7, and he says, Lord, why did you bring us all this way to cross the Jordan to kill us all? And God reminds him, he said, I didn't bring you here, but you allowed sin, y'all were disobedient. Well, that is the same for you and I. We have to be obedient. Not everything that bad happens to us, and I don't want to leave this impression, is because we're disobedient or not followers of Jesus Christ. Sometimes it can be. We understand that. We make bad decisions, decisions we shouldn't have, and there's consequences to those bad decisions. But more often than not, what God is using that circumstance is to grow our faith, and it is also a reflection to those around us of how we keep a smile on our face. You know, throughout this week and different things, I've had great bosses that I work with and co-workers that say, we're keeping you in prayers, or anything we can do, whatever time you need, you take care of her, number one, and this place will be here and we'll continue forward. And there's also those that ask, how are you doing? How are you holding up? This has got to be stressful. And in all honesty, yeah, it is. But I was fine. My answer to them was, God's got this thing. Okay? No matter what, there's nothing I can do to change it. You know, this isn't TV where we can wish for good or twiddle our nose and everything changes. It's not life. Life is a roller coaster, and life, real honestly, is tough. And we are a pilgrim in this life. It's not our home. But our home is coming. And that is a promise that we can rely on. But there are verses that bring to mind whatever you're going through or you may be going to go through in the future. I would encourage you to remember Joshua 1:9, that he tells us, he asked that question, have I not commanded you? Now you may say, well, when did he command us? We're going to look at that here in a moment. But he will tell us that we are to be strong and to be courageous and to not be afraid or dismayed. Country version is, don't let your lip hang out. Okay? You're not supposed to let your lip hang out because there's a bunch of old dirt gravel around here you're going to scrape up with it. And it don't taste that good, and it's hard to swallow it. And he says, do not be of dismayed or afraid. And I love this part about the Old Testament. For the Lord your God, if he is your God, he is your Lord, he is with you wherever you go. And that means not only where you go, but whatever you go through. It's all the same. Turn, if you will, over to Mark chapter 14. Mark chapter 14. So that is the covenant that God made with the Israelite people. In Mark chapter 14, beginning in verse 22, our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ institutes what we call today communion or the Lord's Supper. And in that, the following he says, and as they were eating, Jesus took the bread, blessed it, and broke it, and gave it to them, and said, take and eat, this is my body. Now, that's important. We've talked about the Lord's Supper before, but I want you to keep that in mind. He first gave thanks, said, this is my body. And he took the cup, and when he had given thanks, he gave it to them and said to them, and they all drank from it. And he said to them, take, this is my blood of a new covenant. And notice how that's worded. He said, this is my blood of a new covenant, which is shed for man. Assuredly, I say to you, I will no longer drink of this fruit of the vine until that day when I drink it in new in the kingdom of God. And they took, and when they had sung a hymn, they went out to the Mount of Olives. Now, Christ, we're fixing to celebrate. Next week is Palm Sunday. We're fixing to celebrate the crucifixion and more especially the resurrection of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. We know from the Old Testament, the Old Covenant, the Israelites lost in Joshua there, as I was telling you, from where he gave them, be of good cheer and of strength and courage, and not dismayed, not afraid. And so they went forth. But what had allowed to happen was sin came in. Now we know the Old Covenant, the law required sacrifices for each and every sin that they committed. Okay? And here Jesus said, and it required those sacrifices, which usually meant the killing of an animal. Okay? And Jesus said, the suffering that you should have that animal took your place, I'm going to take it. That's the body part. The physical would be broken. No news to us. The physical also is broken in us. There's times, like I said, you just go, Lord, I don't think I can make this through. It's like you have put more on me than what I can handle. Whether it's the stress or mental upheaval that we're having, the emotions of everything, or the physical stress, or just all of it combined. We feel like we're going to break. Jesus said, you no longer have to break. It is my body that's given and broken for you. And always think about that, of all that he went through, and we think we got trials and troubles and hard times. Can you imagine being whipped and beat, spit upon? We ain't suffered anything compared to what he did for you and I. But then he comes back and he said, it is of my blood that is shed. It is of a new covenant, or for this new covenant. And that covenant would be the fact that you and I, when we accept him as our Lord and Savior, we have him with us always. That same, and we've spoken about that before, the shine of glory that went into the Holy of Holies literally comes into mine and your heart. He's with us. He never leaves us. That's the new covenant. And the new covenant also says that this one sacrifice that he did is repentant of all the sins then and for the future, meaning you and I. Every sin we've ever committed, when we accept him as our Lord and Savior, we ask him to come in and be our Savior, is gone completely. It's away. In future times that we mess up and we make boo-boos, well, all we have to do is go to him, ask for forgiveness, and repent. Turn and go the other way. We know we still make boo-boos because we're human, but every time he is faithful to forgive. That's the new covenant. And the new covenant not only gives us that, but because he went to the grave and overcame death, he has freed you and I from that sin, but he's also freed us from the grip that Satan had all the way back to the Garden of Eden. Death itself. Spiritual death. No matter what happens to this body, my spirit lives on. And if I know him personally, my spirit lives with him in heaven. If we don't know him personally, your spirit still lives, but it's a place called hell. And there ain't no in between. And it's up to you to make that decision. No one can make it for you. But he will come and ask each and every one of us and give everyone the opportunity to come forward to accept him. What that means to you and I while we live here on this earth. Turn, if you will, to 2 Timothy chapter 1. 2 Timothy chapter 1. 2 Timothy chapter 1 and verse 7 says, for God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. That verse has got a whole lot in it. Very quick, short verse, but it's got a whole lot. He says, God has given us, because of his son Jesus Christ overcoming death, he has given us not a spirit of fear, but of power. Power through the name of Jesus Christ, and also of love, because God is love, as John tells us in that very first opening chapter in the Gospel of John, and of a sound mind. We think straight. You want to know what causes worry? You and I play the what-if game. That's really it. What if? What if this disease is incurable? What if we have a wreck? What if? What if? What if? What if? You can what if it to death and you'll never want to step another foot outside your house, except then what if your house collapses? Okay? It is what if everything. And that's where people get worried. Well, you know, it'd be just much easier if I just go away. Well, what if you don't go away? What if you don't know the Lord and then you go away? See, we can still play that what if game all day long. He says, I didn't give you a spirit of what if. This is a promise. God did not give us a spirit of fear, but he gave us one of power. He gave it of power, he says here. He also says not only of power, but of love. When they told Royce that she had this cancer, that was fine. We went there the other day, and they told, you know, that they got everything, they without doubt, they feel like this going through the chemo and the radiation is going to be one of insurance. I said, preventative, and the doctor said, no, I call it insurance. He said, I'm very confident we took everything that was there, of what we knew was there, and we could see. And he explained that the PET scan they're going to do will see down to 1 millimeter. He said, but smaller than that, it won't detect it. And he said, in that smaller amount can lie anywhere from 300,000 to 1 million cells. We don't know, or maybe just one. But we can't see it. So the chemo and all is to make sure we eradicate all of that, that it can't grow. It can't go nowhere else. And the same thing with the follow-up with a little radiation. Okay. Now we could what if that, but again, you know, your mind wants to play, and the devil's field is always to play with your mind. He's been that way forever. I mean, look back at the garden. He played with Eve's mind. Did God really say that? Now you start questioning yourself. Well, if I misunderstood, then there comes that if again, right? But what he says is that I will give you but he's given us a spirit of power, and he has also given us of love. When they did that and they came in there and told it, of course, it was kind of a shock to both of us, but especially to her because she's got it. And they said, well, hey, look, you know, we went away a little bit and then McCormick was going to come in. That was his assistant doctor that came in first. And so he gave you a little bit to do that. And I explained, I'm going to tell you what I told her, and I explained why I said it. I said, whatever you want to do, if you want to take the chemo, I will support it. If you want to do nothing, I will support that too. I told my mother that several years back when she had it the second time. And I had some folks in the family that said, that's kind of cruel. You're wanting them to die. Nope. It's their choice. I will support it 100% either way. And she made a choice. And she said, let's get to it. I explained to her afterwards, I said, I want you to think I'm cold, that I could care less. That's not it. But I'm a realist, folks. I understand enough about human nature. If she didn't want to fight it, it didn't matter what I wanted. I wanted her to have the desire, the love of life enough to continue to live it, the love of her family, the love of her church, everything else involved. She's got to desire it more than anything. My son will tell you when he entered law enforcement, I said, there's one thing. We sat down and had a hard talk about that. I said, what you have to, because I learned this a long time ago, and I taught it to other officers, and I taught it to him. You have to make a decision. Some of you probably going to think this is harsh, and you can think whatever you want to think. But I told him, I said, the number one thing you have to look at, son, in the job you're going into, I hope it never happens, but it comes to the point that it's you or whoever it is that you're trying having to deal with, you're going to have a determination. I'm going home today, even if that means you die today. That's life. And God says, I give you a spirit of power and of love. Doesn't mean we don't love our neighbor. I love each and every one of you, but it comes to the point where it's me going home or you going home. Guess what? You know that old joke, doctor said, you're going to die. And he finishes that up by saying, a sound mind. I've seen a lot of things that God's exposed me to in the past life, but I've seen people survive what everyone and the doctors and everybody said, there's no reason they should be here today except they will not give up the spirit of life. And some of you have said them too. It is how our mind and our attitude is. And my Bible tells me my God gave me a spirit of power. Not one of fear, not one of giving up. Because he's overcome it all. And we'll see that here in a minute. You see, our mind has to be right with him to invoke his power. It's not because we can do it, but we have to be willing to accept, Lord, it's out of my control. It's your power, but I invoke it. I told a member of our church that I got under attack with Satan and all. I said, the thing of it you have to remember is go back and call upon the name of Jesus Christ, because Satan has to leave at his name. See, it's his power. And he gives that to you and I as a born-again believer, as one of his brothers and sisters, as God's child. He says, I have given you a spirit, not of fear, but of power and of love. Why is that important? Jesus showed us that in his prayer. Forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And there's people that for you and I is unlovable, but through him we can have that spirit of love. We can forgive. He forgives them through us. Okay? We've talked about that before. We're not going to go to that message, but I'll say real quick. When we hold a grudge against somebody, it'll work on your mind. They're fat, dumb, and happy, and life goes on for them. The only one that old anger and old hatred is eating on is you, and you won't have a sound mind because of it. It'll kill you internally. It will, and how you look at life. And so he's given us that. Now, if you will, turn to 1 John chapter 5. We'll finish this up. 1 John chapter 5, verse 3 through 5. 1 John chapter 5, beginning in verse 3. For this is the love of God, that we keep his commandments. His commandments are not burdensome. For whatever is born of God overcomes the world. And this is the victory that has overcome the world, our faith. Who is he who overcomes the world but he who believes that Jesus is the Son of God? What John is saying there is if we are born of Jesus, reborn of Jesus Christ, we believe He has overcome the world, then we too have overcome this world. We've overcome the power of Satan. We have overcome the power of a physical death, because that just means my life really began. Because Paul writes in Thessalonians and reminds us, to be absent of the body is to be in the presence of God. Instantaneously. Most recent one that passed, Mary Jane, but I have news for you. Half of that breath was here on earth as she exhaled, but the next drawing was immediately in heaven. And I'll tell you from talking to Mike, that's what keeps him going. It's just a parting for a time. It's not forever. We will see her again and many others that are our loved ones that have passed before us. Turn with me, if you will, to Luke chapter 1. Got two more scriptures we're going to touch on. Luke chapter 1. Very familiar story. It's always funny to me sometimes how things go in this circle. We just talked about the death of our Lord and Savior, His resurrection. We're going to read this verse. Actually comes when the angel comes to Mary and tells her she's going to have a child. And she says, I know no man. Y'all know the story, the Christmas story. He says, the Spirit will come upon you. And then he tells her in verse 36 that also indeed Elizabeth, your relative, has also conceived a son in her old age. So Mary gets a double whop here. She's very young, never had any type of relation, never been with a man. She's a virgin. She's going to have a child, and yet here's her relative, the old woman who's well beyond childbearing. She's going to have a son. Notice verse 37. This is the key. Luke chapter 1, verse 37. For with God, nothing is impossible. Amen. Young Mary was savvy enough in her faith to know that nothing would be impossible. And then, behold, Mary said, he just talks about keeping commandments. We read that over here. Notice what Mary says in 38. Then Mary said, behold, the maidservant of the Lord, let it be to me according to your word. And the angel was speaking God's word. You see that power? That love comes to you and I that overcomes, and we get that victory, because if we rely on Him that nothing is impossible, whatever He has said, let us be the servant that it be just as He has said. He knows the better piece of that. That's where it relies on. Very last one, Romans 8:31. Romans 8:31. With this one we will close. Romans chapter 8 and verse 31. Most of you already know this. What then shall we say to these things? If God is for us, who can be against us? All the powers of evil cannot stand against God Himself and Jesus Christ. Jesus, what we're going to celebrate in 2 weeks, defeated the devil once and for all. The devil knows it too. What we see taking place in our world is nothing but his death throes. He's already been defeated. And if you know him personally, your life is secure with Jesus Christ. Whatever you may come through in this life, up, down, any other way, it is secure with Jesus Christ. Our God, our victory. Is He your God today? Let's bow your head.